This is the world broadcast of W.D. Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to truth and justice for humanity. And now, Imam W.D. Muhammad of the world community of Al-Islam in the West.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Our honorable radio audience, we greet you with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver, cherisher of all the world. May his peace and his blessings forever be upon Prophet Muhammad, upon his descendants, upon his companions, upon the righteous servants, all of them, and upon us, O Muslims. May Allah bless us with the guidance, the true guidance. May Allah bless us with love and devotion so that we follow and obey the instructions in the Quran, so that we take Prophet Muhammad and his life as an example for us. Human beings need a human example, and there is no better human example than Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed. And may we remain steadfast and keep moving onward and onward until we fulfill what Allah asks of us as Muslims. And if we do that, we will attract all people to Al-Islam, because this is their way. This is their nature. God has given us a religion that appeals to our very nature, a religion that is really based on our very nature.
I would like to begin with a reading from Quran, the verse called the kingdom, the Al-Mulk. The chapter, pardon me, called Al-Mulk. And we are just going to read the beginning verse.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. That is, I seek refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan of the enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name Allah, most gracious, most compassionate. Tabarakalladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala.
These verses are translated by Maulana Yusuf Abdullah Yusuf Ali. I read two verses. The first verse reads, blessed be he in whose hands, which means in whose power. We know Allah doesn't have hands like we have. In whose power, in whose control is the dominion or the kingdom, the world's powers, the power over the universe and everything therein. And he over all things has power. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And he is powerful over all things, over all things has power. Second verse reads, he who created death and life, that he may try which of you is best in deed. And he is exalted in might and oft forgiving. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. So Allah is telling us here, and look how divinely these verses come. Men don't think this way. It is Allah who corrects our thinking, who created the death and the life. We always think to say he created life and the death, because when we know anything, we are alive. So we think of life first, you see. But where does life come from? From dead matter. Science tells us that life didn't come first. The universe, the inanimate world came first. And then the Bible and Quran tells us too, but we get confused because we stray from the knowledge, that then God, out of the inanimate world, he brings forth the life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, who created the death and the life. So here, the verse doesn't say that death comes before life, but there is a hint here, an eye-opening hint, to let us know that death comes first and then life. And all through the Quran, death is treated in such a way to remove the superstitions, the fear and superstitions from the Muslims regarding death. We have had a lot of fear and superstition. Even some scriptures have, not the Quran, those scriptures that were misread and misprinted after they were revealed to the prophets and given to us as Jewish scriptures or Christian scriptures. Those scriptures, some of them, present the death as though death is the workings of a separate power. You see, as though there's a Satan, an evil Satan or something, who has created death and darkness. And the God, the good God, has created light and life. This is incorrect. The Quran makes it very clear that Allah is the creator of darkness and light, and he's the creator of death and life. And death is a necessity. Death is a part of our growth. If we don't have death, how can we grow? We grow by death. God has created death to aid our growth. He says, who created the death, al-mauta? Death is first, then life. And the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, die that you may live. Die that you may live. And the scriptures before bear witness to that, that we must die to our ignorance before we can live in good senses. It says, die that you may live. Die to your corruption. Die to your corruption. Die to your wicked ways. Die to your lies. Die to your ignorance. That's the only way to come to real life, you see. So not only does the physical world exist as what we call inanimate or lifeless matter, before it becomes animate, a life living matter, also we in our religion, we exist as dead people to our religion until God wakes us up and sets us onto life. He puts us onto the path of life. With his prophets, with the guidance, he sets us on the path of life. Who created the death and the life? Well, for what reason? God tells us. We want to know. This is a big question. This question, I think, bothers men's mind more than any other question. Why has God created the extremes, death and life, and all the other extremes that we associate with death and life? And Allah tells us here to show you or to make you know, come to know that which one among you is best in his behavior, best in his work. Who performs the best work? If everything was just one way, there would be no opportunity for the individual to prove by his own efforts his worth. We would just be a world of robots or automatons. There would be no freedom, no opportunity to prove by our own efforts our worth. So there would be no reward, no human dignity. Does God say he's going to reward The angels? Does God promise the angels rewards? No, God promised human beings rewards. Human beings are the only ones that can earn rewards. The angels can't earn any reward. Their nature's fixed. Their life is fixed. Their nature's fixed. They live one way. They cannot earn reward. If you earn reward, it means that you can suffer bad consequences. Is that right? So we have to be put in a life of extremes. We have to face the forces of death and life. These forces wake up in us, our intelligence. Living with them constantly, they began to send messages to our intelligence. And we began to know that God hasn't done all of this in vain. And this is the way the human being began to come to God. Is that right? No prophet ever came to God by God just catching him in his work. Say, hey, Moses, what are you doing? Come, let me get you started on something. No, the man is searching. The man is searching. The man himself began searching. Abraham was searching. Muhammad the prophet, the last prophet, was searching. He used to go and visit the cave Hira. And there in that cave at the top of the mountain, he would meditate and think on God and think on the world condition and plead to God for guidance so that he could solve the problems of his people and the problems of the world. That was Prophet Muhammad. So Prophet Muhammad was searching. And it is that kind of person, that kind of searching mind and searching soul that God rewards with guidance. Mm-hmm. And where do we get this impulse, this move, this push to search? God has designed reality, have designed our world, so that this world awaken us certain senses, certain awareness. And we say, gee, God hasn't done this for nothing. This is not an accident. This is something done on purpose. Yes. So we begin to see life as it should be seen, and we begin to turn our hearts to the originator, the maker of all these things, and he turns to us. As he says, if you turn to me, I will turn to you. Yes. What is the Muslim? A Muslim is one who yields his will to the will of Almighty God. And we must not forever forget this. We must keep this in mind forever, that God's will is the salvation of the people, not our will. Our will can't save us. Jesus, he said, your will be done, according to the language of the Christians. Jesus said, your will be done, not my will. Your will, speaking to God. The Muslim is the one who yields his will to the will of God. God has made us with a will. We all have a will. But God has given us that will so that we can earn something for ourselves, so that we can earn dignity for ourselves. But he has also given us hints in his creation and has sent prophets to us to back up those hints. He has guided us, taught us that our will cannot save us. Only the will of God can save us. And the human being's will, from the time it is created, the human being's will is searching for something to guide it. This is nature. The baby is looking for something to guide it. The woman, the man, they grow up and they become adults, but they are looking for something to guide them. They go to the institutions of learning. They go to the churches, to the houses of worship, looking for something to guide their will, something to shape their will, to give meaning to their life in the world. And many of them give up. They run into so many problems. They can't find answers that they think they should get. They give up. And what do? Then they give their will to the forces of destruction. They give their will to lies, corruption, confusion, and they go down, and they are destroyed by the corruptible things of the world. So this will in man is naturally designed or naturally made to seek God. The human will seeks God. And when we find God, we find our peace. We don't know God in all of his divine names or in all of his attributes when we start out searching. God has to show us these things through his prophets, through guidance. Is that right? Yes. But we do know
that there is something in me that needs to be reunited or united with something that is missing. We don't always know what it is, but it's truth. The human being comes into the world, and the world teaches the human being some truth and some lies. And the lies separates us from the reality that we should naturally be united with. So God sends his messengers to teach us that we are one creation, not two, one creation. And that the creator of this creation is one, not two, not three, one God, one Allah, one creator for everything. This oneness brings to us peace. Two or three bosses over us running our lives bring confusion, as the Quran says. And many don't stop at two or three bosses. They go and worship saints, prophets, and saints and apostles. Is that right? And give their lives to many directions. And what has this resulted in? The absence of the worship of God. These people who have given their lives to many gods, to two and three gods, and to many saints for guidance, look at their society now. They are writing, their leaders are writing, God is dead. And another word I just got from the New York Times about two or three weeks ago, say, if God is alive, why is religion in so much pain? Why is religion in so much pain for whom? Not in so much pain for us. Religion is free of pain for us. And it's relieving us of the pain. The religion is not in pain for us. And God is alive and has always been alive for the Muslims. Yes. So it is those people who have went astray, who have left the straight way, who have left the worship of one God alone, one God only. It is those people that think maybe God is sleeping. Even their scriptures say, wake up, God. Wake up, Lord. Arise from your sleep. So they've been given ideas of a God that takes naps. I'm quoting you the Bible, word for word. Arise, O Lord, out of your sleep. Yes. Allahu Akbar. The Muslim life is a clear life. It's not a life of confusion. The way that is shown to us is a clear way. The Quran itself is called the clear book. Al-Bayan. Very clear, evident guidance. Not something that you have to guess at. It establishes itself. Doesn't leave us to interpret and establish it. There's a lot in the Quran that needs interpretation. But that's not the basis of the book. Allah says in the Quran, says that the verses of the Quran are allegorical and basic. Allegorical means that it needs some understanding, needs interpretation. Says, those in whose heart is crookedness or perversity, they prefer the allegorical over the basic. They like to get into the mysteries and avoid the clear teachings. Yes. Says, but the basics are the clear teachings, the clear verses are the basics of the book. They are the basis of the book. And that is where we stand. We stand on those clear teachings. We can all discuss and maybe make some contributions to understanding the allegorical teachings. But that's not what we stand upon. We stand upon the clear teachings. And what are those clear teachings? One God, who's not creation, who is creator, who has no image, no likeness in creation, and he's not like creation. Holy Quran says he's not like creation. He made creation, but he's not like creation. Says that creation must exist by two forces. Male and female, negative and positive. Says, but I am the one who exists alone. Alone, without any forces to aid me. And Allah says again that he, in his attribute, that he is God, whose very
whose very being will not permit any contribution. We want to contribute something to God. We want to give him a little help. No, his very being refuses any contribution. It is our being that wants something. Come help me. Give me something. God says that to us in the Quran, slumber nor sleep touches him. He does not need food or anything. Say, he's the one who feeds and is not fed. Yes. Needs nothing from us. And the attribute at summit, say, Qul hu Allahu ahad. Say, Allah, he's one God alone. Allahu samad. Allah is the eternal, whose very being rejects contributions. You make no contributions to God. Make contributions to righteousness. Make contributions to yourself. Make contributions to your life. But send God some charity. Or give God some help to save sinners. He doesn't need any help to save sinners. We need help to save ourselves. And God give us that help in our intelligence. He give us that help in our nature and the sentiments of our heart. And he also give us that help through inspired people, the prophets. Is that right? But he needs no help. Isn't that the God that the human nature is looking for? The human nature is looking for the God that is perfect. The God that is whole, needs nothing, and is perfect. Has no need for anything, no flaw. Perfect being. We're looking for the cause for the effects that we find in life. Is that right? We're not looking for an effect. The human being's nature looks for the cause. And if we say God is something that needs like we need, or God is something imperfect like creation, then we are saying that God is not cause, but God is effect. Allahu Akbar. Yes. This is the Muslim way. And the Muslim's life has been given five clear principles. Is that right? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahda. I bear witness openly that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. Is that right? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God except the God, Allah. Muhammad is not God. Muhammad is the messenger of God. Now, when we say Muhammadur Rasulullah, it doesn't say Muhammad is not God, but that's the purpose. The purpose is to keep that kalima together. It's one kalima. La ilaha illallah. Nothing is worthy of worship except Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of God. Muhammad is not God. Muhammad is not an angel. Muhammad is a messenger of God. And who is this Muhammad that's the messenger? He is a mortal being that needs food, shelter, clothing, wife, love, compassion. He needs his society. He's lonely without God, and he's lonely without his human companions. That is the man that we need to lead the whole world. And that is the man that Allah gave to us, Prophet Muhammad. Allah says in the Quran that if this earth had been populated with angels, he would have sent us an angel as a messenger. But since this earth was populated with human beings, he sent us a mortal, flesh and blood human being to be our messenger. Allahu Akbar. Secondly, we have to pray. No one has to teach the human being to pray. God has put it in human nature to cry out. Say, oh, help me. I'm not a creature born perfect. I'm not a creature born without needs. Mommy, help me. Daddy, help me. Police, help me. Judge and justice, help me. Is that right? Mayor, governor, help me. President, help me. People, help me. My countrymen, help me. I find no help anywhere. God, help me, please. Is that right? The human being's soul reaches out for help. From a little child, from a little baby, the soul is asking for help because we know we are not able to make it alone. And we plead to everything in existence for help. And finally we say, nothing on this in this creation can help me. Where is the one that made this? Help me, oh God. Is that right? Allahu Akbar. So this is human nature. So we are taught to pray 5 times daily. The Muslim pray 5 times daily. He has 5 senses. He needs help for those 5 senses. Is that right? Yes. So he prays 5 times daily. Oh God, keep me alive. Keep my 5 senses alive. Alive to you. Says, hear ye the word of the Lord. If my senses of hearing is to stay alive, God, I must hear you. If my vision is to stay alive, I must see your way. If my life is to feel the right way, I must give my feelings to your way. Is that right? Give your feelings to Almighty God's truth and to his blessings. Is that right? Yes. The sense of smell. We smell what is in the air. But how can we know how to judge all the time? We may smell a thing and put it in our mouth and be killed by that thing. These senses need help. We are speaking of these senses in a kind of elementary way. These senses evolve to higher levels. Is that right? And taste become discernment. Taste become rational discernment. Is that right? Smell becomes a kind of intuitive ability to sense what is out there. Is that right? And vision become a vision not only to see the physical, but to see into. So we need help so that these things grow and continue to grow. And Allah says in his Quran that he has created us that we may grow. God does not want us standing still. He does not want us fixed in any inferior form. He wants us to grow and grow and grow forever until he decides when we should stop growing. Is that right? Allahu Akbar. But to get this, we must stay alive. And God has revealed to Prophet Muhammad the 5 fundamental principles of our religion. They are the correct worship of God and the correct way to view his prophet. Not that he's a god or a partner with God, he's a messenger of God. And that prayer, the man should pray, this is in his nature. No matter how strong we get, we can become strong like Muhammad Ali, or strong like, Atlas, the great Atlas, and lift up the whole world on our back. But we never become so strong that we don't have a cry in our nature. There's a crying in human beings' nature. He's born crying and he can cry all of his life. He goes out crying because he knows he needs help from his God. Is that right? So the Muslim prays 5 times a day. If he wake up with Allah on his mind, Muslims shouldn't wake up with foolishness on his mind. A Muslim shouldn't wake up with his money business on his mind to make more dollars. A Muslim should wake up and from his prayer, he said, Alhamdulillah, a lady who gave me life. Soon as he opened his eyes, he should say, all praises due to Allah, who gave me life after I was dead. Human beings need a human example, and there is no better human example than Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed. And may we remain steadfast and keep moving onward and onward until we fulfill what Allah asks of us as Muslims. Allahu Akbar. The Muslim life is a clear life. It's not a life of confusion. The way that is shown to us is a clear way. The Quran itself is called the clear book. Al-Bayan. Very clear, evident guidance, not something that you have to guess at. It establishes itself, doesn't leave us to interpret and establish it. There's a lot in the Quran that needs interpretation, but that's not the basis of the book. Allah says in the Quran, says that these verses, the verses of the Quran, are allegorical and basic. Allegorical means that it needs some understanding, needs interpretation. Says, those in whose heart is crookedness are perversity. They prefer the allegorical over the basic. They like to get into the mysteries and avoid the clear teaching. Yes. Says, but the basics are the clear teachings, the clear verses are the basics of the book. They are the basis of the book. And that is where we stand. We stand on those clear teachings. We can all discuss and maybe make some contributions to understanding the allegorical teachings, but that's not what we stand upon. We stand upon the clear teachings. And what are those clear teachings? One God, who's not creation, who is creator, who has no image, no likeness in creation, and he's not like creation. Holy Quran says he's not like creation. He made creation, but he's not like creation. Says that creation must exist by two forces, male and female, negative and positive. Says, but I am the one who exists alone, without any forces to aid me. And Allah says again that he, in his attribute, that he is God, whose very being will not permit any contribution. We want to contribute something to God? We want to give him a little help? No, his very being refused any contribution. It is our being that wants something. Come help me. Give me something. God says that it, to us in the Quran, slumber nor sleep touches him. He does not need food or anything. Say, he's the one who feeds and is not fed. Yes. Needs nothing from us. And the attribute at summit, the Qul hu Allahu Ahad, say Allah, he's one God alone. Allahu Samad. Allah is the eternal, whose very being rejects contributions. You'll make no contributions to God. Make contributions to righteousness. Make contributions to yourself. Make contributions to your life. But send God some charity? Or give God some help to save sinners? He doesn't need any help to save sinners. We need help to save ourselves. And God, give us that help in our intelligence. He give us that help in our nature and the sentiments of our heart. And he also give us that help through inspired people, the prophets. Is that right? But he needs no help. Isn't that the God that the human nature is looking for? The human nature is looking for the God that is perfect. The God that is whole, needs nothing, and is perfect. Has no need for anything, no flaw. Perfect being. We're looking for the cause for the effects that we find in life. Is that right? We're not looking for an effect. The human being's nature looks for the cause. And if we say God is something that needs like we need, or God is something imperfect like creation, then we are saying that God is not cause, but God is effect. Allahu Akbar. Yes. This is the Muslim way. And the Muslim's life has been given five clear principles. Is that right? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahda. I bear witness openly that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. Is that right? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God except the God, Allah. Muhammad is not God. Muhammad is the messenger of God. Now when we say Muhammadur Rasulullah, it doesn't say Muhammad is not God, but that's the purpose. The purpose is to keep that kalima together. It's one kalima. La ilaha illallah. Nothing is worthy of worship except Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of God. Muhammad is not God. Muhammad is not an angel. Muhammad is a messenger of God. And who is this Muhammad that's the messenger? He is a mortal being that needs food, shelter, clothing, wife, love, compassion. He needs his society. He's lonely without God, and he's lonely without his human companions. That is the man that we need to lead the whole world. And that is the man that Allah gave to us, Prophet Muhammad. Allah says in the Quran that if this earth had been populated with angels, he would have sent us an angel as a messenger. But since this earth was populated with human beings, he sent us a mortal, flesh and blood human being to be our messenger. Allahu Akbar. Secondly, we have to pray. No one has to teach the human being to pray. God has put it in human nature to cry out. Say, oh, help me. I'm not a creature born perfect. I'm not a creature born without needs. Mommy, help me. Daddy, help me. Police, help me. Judge and justice, help me. Is that right? Mayor, governor, help me. President, help me. People, help me. My countrymen, help me. I find no help anywhere. God, help me, please. Is that right? The human being's soul reaches out for help. From a little child, from a little baby, the soul is asking for help because we know we are not able to make it alone. And we plead to everything in existence for help. And finally we say, nothing on this in this creation can help me. Where is the one that made this? Help me, O God. Is that right? Allahu Akbar. So this is human nature. So we are taught to pray 5 times daily. The Muslim pray 5 times daily. He has 5 senses. He needs help for those 5 senses. Is that right? Yes. So he prays 5 times daily. Oh God, keep me alive. Keep my 5 senses alive. Alive to you. Says, hear ye the word of the Lord. If my senses of hearing is to stay alive, God, I must hear you. If my vision is to stay alive, I must see your way. If my life is to feel the right way, I must give my feelings to your way. Is that right? Give your feelings to Almighty God's truth and to his blessings. Is that right? Yes. The sense of smell. We smell what is in the air. But how can we know how to judge all the time? We may smell a thing and put it in our mouth and be killed by that thing. These senses need help. We are speaking of these senses in a kind of elementary way. These senses evolve to higher levels. Is that right? And taste become discernment. Taste become rational discernment. Is that right? Smell becomes a kind of intuitive ability to sense what is out there. Is that right? And vision become a vision not only to see the physical, but to see into. So we need help so that these things grow and continue to grow. And Allah says in his Quran that he has created us that we may grow. God does not want us standing still. He does not want us fixed in any inferior form. He wants us to grow and grow and grow forever until he decides when we should stop growing. Is that right? Allahu Akbar. Rise up in your home. Make your adhan. Say your adhan. And then sit down for a moment and make dhikr. Dhikr is remembering Allah. Remember Allah by reciting his divine names and by reciting kalimas. Kalimas. Subhanallah. Glory be to God who's perfect above all things. Alhamdulillah. All the thanks and praise is deserving to only God. Is that right? La ilaha illallah. Nothing is worthy of our worship, of our prayers, except Allah. Is that right? Allahu Akbar. Allah is bigger. Allah is greater. Allah is more significant. Allah is more important than what? Than everything. Yes. These are the kalimas. Recite those for a few minutes and get yourself in the right frame of mind. Let your soul be soothed. Then stand up and face your God in the best manner. Is that right? Not hastily. Being impatient. If I go to see the president and I'm acting impatient, what do you think he'll do? When we turn to God, we should turn to God controlling ourselves. And if there's something disturbing our peace, we should cry out to God and tell God, God, I'm unpresentable. Something is disturbing my peace. Oh Allah, help me, quiet my soul, bring peace to me, free me of my anxiety. Free me of my fear. Free me of my weaknesses so that I'll be more presentable to you. Go to God in the best manner. And if you're short of something, ask God to give you what you're short of and take away those things that are hurting your image. and hurting your life. You don't stay away from the water when you're dirty. You go to the water when you're dirty. And you go to the water to stay clean. Is that right? Yes. So they say, oh, I'm too dirty to go. I'll be around to see you all when I get myself straight. What do you need to get yourself straight? Soap? We got soap. Soap and water, we got it. It's here. The khutbah is the soap and water. The salat is the soap and water. Is that right? Yes. The Quran is the soap and water. The hadith of Prophet Muhammad is the soap and water. So where are you? You stand away from the soap and water? And you say your problem is that you're filthy? Come to the soap and water. And then there's some who say, oh, I don't want to come around. I'm too wicked. I'm too wicked. I'm too wicked. My mind is too evil. But where is the power to turn the mind right again? It's in the guidance of God. And you don't find the guidance of God in the society with the wicked, in the streets with the wicked. Those people are not your company. They're the company of your problems. So don't stay out there with them. Even if you wake up this morning and say, oh Allah, I wish I had never come to Islam. As soon as you can get yourself in a better frame of mind and the least little thought of goodness come to you, say, God, forgive me for what I said. I'm on my way down to the masjid. Get right back down to the masjid. If it's not open, get the Quran and read. Begin with Al-Fatiha. Read Al-Fatiha. Say Ameen. And then read the first verses of Al-Baqarah. And read and read and read. And you'll be guided. You'll be saved. This is our salvation. Now the Muslim also has to give charity. The Muslim is not one who can just keep growing materially, keep growing intellectually, and not give anything. Does a tree grow without giving? Does a blade of grass grow without giving? It grows and soon it yields seeds and it gives much to the earth. Even a small blade of grass gives much back to the earth, many times more than it took away. Is that right? Everything in life that grows and it gives back. And God has established charity for us. And charity should not just be given material things. A Muslim is one who believes in giving his whole self to Allah. Is that right? Say, surely I've turned my whole self to you, O Allah. Is that right? Yes. You have to give your whole self. You give of your material wealth. You give of your knowledge. You give of your sentiments. Let the community share your sentiments. Let us feel the love that is in your heart. Let us feel the goodness that is in your nature. Let us feel the charity that is in your nature. Let us feel it from your heart, from your mind, from your total being. This is a Muslim. Christ and his mother is only a sign of something that was to come and be fulfilled in Prophet Muhammad. Yes. If any Christian wants to understand his religion, read the Quran. Get the guidance from Allah that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. Then he will understand his religion. And when he comes to understand his religion, he'll say, these people are us, and we are not ourselves. Yes. When the Christian really comes to understand his religion, the gospel, the New Testament, they will say, the Muslims are us, and we are not ourselves. Well, what does the book say? Says the peacemakers shall be called the sons of God. The Pope knows what son means. It means the follower of God's way. As our sons follow their fathers, is that right? The children follow their parents. And that's a poetic way, allegorical way, symbolic way of saying that God is over us and we are like little helpless children. And God leads us and we follow like children. And the New Testament says, unless you come in as little children. Is that right? Unless you come in as little children. You don't have to be a child of God. In a physical sense, you can't be. In a physical sense, you are what the Quran tells us. You're the creation of God. It says whenever he wants a son, he creates a son. He doesn't have to depend on reproduction. He's a creator. He creates and then establishes reproduction.
Dear beloved Muslims, our only salvation is with Allah. The only guidance is the Quran. The only prophet for us is Prophet Muhammad. That's the only way. All these other things lead us astray. And Allah tells us in the Quran, says that there is one way that leads straight. There are many ways that lead you astray. This is what Allah tells us. We don't want the many ways, we want the one way. And Allah has not given us a spooky way. He's not given us a way that comes out of dreams or that comes from a world of unreality. Allah tells us that this way is the way. Deen al-Fitra. This is the way that God has established in creation. The very pattern on which he has created the human being. This is what Allah tells us in the Quran, chapter 30, verse 30. That this religion, this way, is the natural way. It is the way that God established in the making of the worlds. When he made creation, the sun, moon, and stars, he established this way in the creation, in the universe, throughout. The sun bear witness to this way. Moon and the stars, the wind and the water, the seas, the land, the elements, all of them. Every living creature that walks the earth, including us, bears witness to this way. We don't have to have a testimony from some unearthly beings. The testimony comes from the creation, and it comes from us. Is that right? Yes. And he says that this is the natural way, the way on which he has made human beings. So isn't that the great religion? Dignity comes in this religion. The law asked us to perform Hajj. Is that right? To perform the Hajj. He asked us all the other things. Be a living witness to one God and one God only, and that he has sent his universal messenger. Is that right? And be prayers. The Holy Quran tells us, Hafidah, to God your prayers. Is that right? To God your prayers. So watch over it. Prayer is essential for my health, for my life, for my happiness. Shouldn't I guard it? Shouldn't I watch over it? And then Allah tells us also to give charity and to fast the month of Ramadan. Fasting makes it possible for us to give charity. If a human being just eat, 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 take, 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 and never restrain his appetites, never fast, then pretty soon the forces of greed take him over, and he knows anything, he doesn't even have his own life. His own life is taken away from him by wild appetites. Is that right? Yes. And you say, oh, I wish I could get my life back. Can anybody tell me how to fast? Did anybody have a weight-reducing plan? I wish I could get my life back. Yes. You see? And then God tells us, after fasting, to make Hajj. Here is the five. It's complete. Is that right? We have five now. It's complete. And when you look at man, you see five. Five fingers on each hand, five toes on each foot. Is that right? And five points in the whole body. The tip of the hands, the tip of the foot, legs, and the head makes five points. Is that right? In his being, five stands out. Is that right? Yes, five stands out in his very being. And then God has established for us five fundamental principles. And the last of those is Hajj. Wholeness. Isn't that what we suffer for? Wholeness. We want to be one with creation because we are creation. We want to be one with flesh because we are flesh. We want to be one with the good spirit, with the human, good human nature, with the good sentiments of the human heart because we are also sentimental beings. Is that right? Yes. So we want to be one. That oneness comes when we accept all people into our family. So we make the Hajj. There the Nigerian comes. The Sudanese, the Nigerian, the Moroccan. Is that right? Yes. The Englishman. The Chinese. The Filipino. The Japanese. The Indian. All come there. All people come in one place. And when they come, they are not coming as tribes. They have to put down their tribal banners and pick up La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Is that right? Yes. One God, one leadership, one family of men, one community. Is that right? Yes, that's how they have to come. They can't come with their nationalisms. They have to come with this in the spirit of obedience to God as one flesh, following one way, one community of people yielding their wills to Almighty God. That's how they have to come. This is the oneness. When we come to that, we have what our hearts desire. If we will accept just the fundamental principles of Islam and live those, apply them in our daily life, live them. You don't have to go to Hajj to practice Hajj. I think it was one scholar in Al-Islam who said, the biggest Hajj is the Hajj of self-control. If you can control yourself so that yourself don't disobey God's instruction, you have made the biggest Hajj. When we go to Hajj, don't you know that's the biggest test? The biggest test there is the test on your ability to control yourself. You want to do things like you've been doing them at home, but there you can't. You have to do things like they should be done so that everybody get along. You see? You want to have your little private thing, but you can't have it there. You might want to get up and call up so-and-so. I'll turn on the record, on the radio and listen to your favorite broadcast, you see. You can't do it there. You might want to go to your favorite restaurant where you've been getting your breakfast every morning. You can't do it there. You might want to put on your favorite cap. You can't do it there. You might want to talk your favorite talk. You can't do it there. The talk there is unity, oneness, Hajj. Obedience to God. Is that right? Yes. So there you have your powers of self-control really in jeopardy, brother. Then you have to go and you have to perform the rites. You have to make a tawaf around the Kaaba seven times. You're not the only one there to make it. Many people are there to make it. Lower than you in power, physical power, and lower than you in intellect. All are there to make it. Superior to you in power, superior to you in intellect. Right. So every now and then you might get irritable. You have to call on your Lord or be trampled. Right. The only thing can save you is Allah. Right. If you go there trying to push people around, you're going to get hurt. Right. You see? Because you're going to meet somebody else who haven't developed self-control enough. And he's going to say, oh, I see him. I'm going to give it to him. Boom. And there you'll be wasted with those who didn't make the Hajj. Yes. Making the Hajj is not just going there. Making the Hajj is controlling yourself. Controlling yourself. And Allah wants us to control our prejudices, control our fears, our unfounded hatreds. He wants us to control all these things so that we overcome them. If you deny an evil influence a bed, a fertile bed to grow in, don't you know that thing is going to die eventually? Take a thing out of the bed that it's growing in and it has to die. Yes, so if we deny these prejudices, these bitter hate, racial hatreds, and selfish tendencies in ourselves, the lack of charity and love that make us push each other around and deny each other, hold each other back, and say, oh, wait for me, I have to get mine first. You see? But there you can't do those things. There you have to give yourself to Allah, and you have to let your sister walk in front of you. You have to let a baby walk in front of you. You have to let an old man walk in front of you. You have to let a man younger and stronger than you walk in front of you. If he wants to take the way, give him the way. You're not coming there to have a duel with him. You're coming there to give yourself to the oneness of God. Yield your will to God and give yourself to the oneness of God and be at one with humanity, with your brothers and sisters. Is that right? Yes, that's the wholeness that the heart yearns for. Now, can anybody show me a way better than this way? I have studied, I have listened, and I still have open ears. I listen. Well, I don't listen now because I think there's anything out there. I listen now because I want somebody to tell me something that they think is worthy of being compared with this way. Because I'm anxious to show them that there is nothing that comes near to being a comparison with this way. And Islam is so superior to all other ways that there is nothing on this earth, nothing has been dreamed or imagined by man as a way for human beings that come any way near to comparing with Al-Islam. Allahu Akbar.